It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
The God Journey. You may wonder what's happened to the God Journey. The truth is, there's been a coup d'etat. The Irish have taken over. And where are Brad and Wayne? Well, actually,
I'm right here.
No.
He's taken over?
Your mic's about to be cut, my friend. Yeah, they're taking over.
The truth is...
Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Colin, and sitting across from me is David.
Colin, wow. Dave Rice, visiting from County Wicklow in Ireland.
That's
and now
right.
They think they're the God Journey.
Oh my.
Nah, I'm not so sure about that.
This is amazing. Wow, the Irish have landed.
Yeah, we tried to tie Brad and Wayne to a chair and gag them, but it didn't quite work.
We didn't find a chair big enough.
Something stronger in the gag.
This is what we call an incompetent coup.
But we also have a live studio audience.
We do have a live studio audience. My goodness. We're not even at our home base. We're out on location.
We're remote.
We are remote on location in Shaver Lake, California.
In Tuckaway Pines.
Cabin that we're hanging out in. And my parents are in the room watching us do this, so.
They're checking you out. I hope. Does that mean you're going to be on good behavior for one of these podcasts?
I think they're wondering what they're responsible for.
Does someone have a camera? This is great.
I don't think they've ever heard the podcast, so this will be interesting. Not quite. Actually, you missed it last night, Brad, but we got my dad to talk a little bit. I heard my dad talk more last night than I've heard him talk in 4 years cumulative.
Wow.
Sharing stories from the
early
days.
You were on a roll, weren't you?
Yeah, it was.
And that was such a blessing.
It was a real blessing.
It was. Shared the early days of their getting in touch with the charismatic renewal. I wish I'd recorded it. When he got done talking, I'm going, oh, my goodness, I'd love to.
All right. I got another guest for us at some
point. At some point, we'll get my dad on here?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can't record him when he's knowing it. He'll shut down. But
well, we'll hide the mic in his hat or something.
He told his experiences from World War II and from the early days of the charismatic renewal and what God's done in their life and journey. And it was incredible. I mean, my dad is my father of faith as well as flesh. And it was wonderful just to hear him.
We were touched.
Tell his story.
Yeah, we were really touched.
Well, something happened that inspired the Irish to take over.
It might be an age thing. Maybe the old people are taking over.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's hard on you, Brad.
I know. I'm the baby of the group.
Well, they're out visiting from Ireland. They've come out to California to spend a few days in prayer and dialogue with Brad and me, and it's been wonderful. We appreciate you guys coming out. And
I think David's addicted to the Sea-Doos. I do.
Yes, that's true.
I think he has a need for speed, kind of like you,
absolutely.
Wayne.
Absolutely.
There was a glow in his eyes I've never seen before. he was having fun.
It was back to the old days. I became a teenager for half an hour.
Woo! Back to the future.
We spent some wonderful time yesterday on the lake.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun. Families really together was. And good time. But your wives aren't here. Just you two have come?
Yes, they released us to come.
And we've had a joy just hanging out and sharing the journey. And
it's been great. It's been
you guys were on, we'll put the link on to the link to this website. But back, you were on back in April of 2006. We did a podcast.
Was it that long?
It was. Did a podcast with them entitled Laying It All Down in Ireland. And we talked, so we want to talk your story again of how this group of people have lived as a family of God's kids in the Dublin area and area south. And have relationships all over the world with brothers and sisters you share this journey with, including Sarah and me, and now Brad and Kelly. And but I get the question a lot from people who want to hear more, you know, not how it all happened, but how's it going now? How's the life of the brothers and sisters around Ireland that you guys hang out with? What's anything going on to be fun to talk about?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful living, loving Jesus together. And for me, as I was thinking about it, I just think it's just like one big family. And isn't that the way church life's meant to be?
It'd be nice if it was.
That's how Paul talked about it.
But I think that's the way it is. If we recognize, you know, I never had a problem working out who my father or my mother were in the family. Right. Or my brothers and sisters. I didn't need all that structure because it was family. And isn't that a way it should also be with the people of God? That
now you're making it simple.
Yeah, that's not good. You can't sell simple.
What will the paid staff do?
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Gee whiz.
No, it's just, I just think family life is such a good picture of how it's meant to be with God's people.
Yeah, we've been in touch with you two and myself for about 8 years. I think we kind of
something like that.
Parsed it down last night for my first trip to Ireland. What I have enjoyed now, what's changed in the last 4 years is that more and more of you are retiring.
That's true.
And hanging out together more frequently and being able to travel a bit more frequently.
That's wonderful. It's a great privilege. I think for me, the biggest thing in retirement is just being able to have, being a teacher, I was ruled by a bell every 40 minutes of my whole life. Mm. And to now come to where if there are things that need to be prayed through or thought through or whatever, I can take the time to do that. And that's a very real privilege.
Yeah. And so this year, where you've been? You've been to Australia, you've been to
In this last
South
year,
Africa.
I've been a fair few places. I've been Australia, New Zealand, and Scotland, and Sweden, and...
And not just touring,
no,
but hanging out with brothers and sisters
absolutely.
That I know in many of those places.
Yeah, so. We're off to Kenya in a couple of weeks' time.
Going to Kenya, yeah. Good.
And it's been special. And South Africa. We were in South Africa for a month.
Ah.
See, the Irish are taking over.
The coup d'etat is spreading.
This is just the scouting mission.
We're just thankful they're incompetent about the cooing.
They are.
So are you going to translate for us your opening remark there? Are we going to
what did you say in Gaelic?
It was very simple. I just said, God bless you, my friends, and welcome.
Oh. Wow. That's
Is that okay?
I prayed for the interpretation. I just didn't get it yet. I knew it was tongues.
But watching all, some of you retiring, kids are growing up and getting married. You had two weddings of people
Within
I know.
In the last couple of weeks.
In the last couple of weeks. Mm. And kids are having kids and grandkids, and the family just continues to grow and celebrate its life. And I think some of the things I hear about when I'm here near you or with you, some of the 60, 70, 80-year-old birthday parties you're having where loads of people just show up for a meal and a fellowship and reconnect with each other in ways. You don't get together often as just a large group for like a weekly service.
Mm. Well, it's very hard really to describe, David, isn't it, what how life is with us. Because, to be honest with you, over the last 25 years, there really hasn't been a pattern.
No.
You can't really say what's going to happen this week. And certainly I can guarantee you one thing, it's going to be very different to what happened last week. But it's, I think probably most of our gatherings would be around the table, just sharing meals together, breaking bread together, two or three couples just around the table together. And I love that.
Or sometimes responding to a situation that some would gather together to pray about. Or sometimes just
Working together.
Yes. I enjoy that a lot, just doing things.
I've done a lot of things with David, and we've often worked together in projects. And it was more than just work, it was fellowship. I remember years ago, being in the forest with David, a group of us used to go up with chainsaws to cut timber. And it doesn't sound a very spiritual exercise. It doesn't sound like church. But
my dad thinks it is.
Oh, good.
There's a lot of cutting.
But I remember on one occasion we stopped to have lunch and we just sat in the quietness of the forest. And I remember distinctly a conversation. And at some point in the conversation, you just became aware that Jesus was in the conversation and something very special was happening. And I've thought a lot about that and thought of the scripture where the most misquoted scripture in the New Testament, perhaps, where Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together or drawn together in my name, I'm there in the midst. And it's really the presence of Jesus that makes the difference in all our comings together. He's the one who, in a sense, brings life to our gatherings. And whether that's just some people sitting around a table sharing food together, his presence makes all the difference. And that to us has been church. Or maybe it's just two people walking on the mountainside, just sharing life together, and suddenly you're aware, like on the road to Emmaus, that somebody's joined you in the conversation, and Jesus is there. And more, I think we've come to realize that it's just Jesus. It's He who makes the difference in our lives. And we've sought to walk like that for the last 25 years. I'm not saying we've always done it right, but we really desire to have that sort of life together where Jesus is the center and His life is what makes the difference when we meet together.
I think as well, sorry.
Well, I was going to ask a question. Yeah. When 25 years, when most people seem to be addicted to some kind of structure or some sort of pattern or habit, how is it that for 25 years, I mean, honestly, you haven't fallen into one of those when it seems like that's so hard for so many other people in the name of pursuing God?
I think we fell out of one.
And decided that would be the last one.
And it was a good one. As they went, David will tell you, it was a pretty good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I think we had, you know, that way back then, it was so clear the Lord wanted us to not see walls and not see boundaries. And those boundaries were there through the structures. But to me, meeting or not meeting or what, it is about where our hearts are with Jesus. Mm. And the thing, as Colin was saying there about the presence of the Lord, you know, it's the presence of the Lord in our lives today means that I can land in the other end of the earth and feel at one with my brother instantly. Mm. And we don't have catching up to do because of the way His life is shared amongst us, and he keeps us up to date in Him, and that is a wonderful and fascinating thing that you can feel and sense, and it's a privilege to me to just feel and sense brothers and sisters around the world sometimes, and just end up praying, just that cry of heart to Jesus, just to touch them, and find that maybe afterwards you've just been listening in on them going through a crisis that nobody knew about, or whatever it was. And all of that comes out of the head controlling something that no man could do.
Mm. Yeah, David said this morning, I made an interesting comment about how people sometimes, it's not about withdrawing from meetings, because a lot of people withdraw from meetings and end up alone.
Makes no difference.
End up isolated. And it's really the nature of the church is a community of family.
Absolutely.
It's people who know each other, care about each other, learn to walk alongside each other.
And recognize each other's strengths and weakness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure in 25 years, have you guys, I mean, the average church in America splits every 6.7 years. And I think the average friendship lasts even less time than that sometimes. Sure. Have you guys not had conflicts among you? How do you get, because when I see when I'm there, relationships that have endured 25, 30, 35, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And I know it's not true for everybody. Not everybody that was part of that is still part of that or connected to it. Talk about that a little bit. How do you guys?
Well, I think we're very, very different, David. Yeah. I think that's something that people have commented on. We're very, very different. And we also...
You mean as individuals?
As individuals. And individuals before the Lord were very different. But I also think we've made room for one another. Yeah. And we've really submitted our lives to one another. And we do try to have ears to hear the Lord, but also the Lord through one another. And I have to say, over 25 years, we've gone through difficult times, but we've never really had a falling out, David.
No, absolutely not.
And never.
I hold those people who don't walk with us in the way, who don't feel free to be in a completely non-structured setup, are still some of my most precious and valued brothers and sisters in the Lord, because...
Even with some who wouldn't say they see what you're doing as valid.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they've moved on because what you're doing, it doesn't count.
Totally, absolutely.
But you've maintained the friendship.
We've maintained friendship.
Yeah, and even if you don't see him very often, just that there were some things happened back there in terms of love relationships which you don't break.
Yeah.
And they may not agree with you, but there was a laying down of life together. There was a walking, submitting to Jesus back there that just gave confidence. And there are people I know who I haven't seen for years, but I have absolute confidence that they can know anything they want to about my life.
Well, I get this email every week, people who, for whatever one reason or another, have been part of an institutional environment for a significant period of time, maybe have been elders, been on staff, whatever, have felt like, for whatever reason, that God was disconnecting that. Sometimes it felt like there was just something going on they could no longer be part of. Other times, just God moving them on. But they all say, the friendships I had in there ended the day I walked out. People, we don't get invited to birthday parties anymore, don't get invited to funerals and weddings.
That is maybe true, because their lives go a separate way, and they're going to have a lot of other activities in their lives, and we would have as well, and they may not walk in that. But when we meet, there is nothing but a warmth and love. And the other thing I think I said to Brad the other day when we were coming down up in the car, I have this conviction that wherever there's health in the body of Christ, you look deep, if you dig beneath the surface, and you'll find that somewhere in there someone has walked a road that laid their own lives down and wasn't for their own building their own thing. They laid it down and cared beyond what they were. They were like fathers in Israel. They were, they were prepared to give their own life. And I don't think that means just in structure or out of structure or whatever. Wherever there's health, you dig a bit deeper and you'll find, maybe in a generation past, maybe wherever it is, someone has given their lives. They've done more than just manage the situation. They've cared at a deep cost.
Hmm. And I even think, just going back to some of your language, in structure or out of structure, wouldn't you say your group has a structure? Most people think the goal is structurelessness.
No,
it's really a different kind of structure.
Totally.
It's not a.
It's like being family.
It's the structure of just honoring each other, which I think Paul was saying, in honor, preferring one.
Absolutely.
That's really the structure of the family.
We don't really like that term, by the way.
What's that?
In structure, out of structure, the box, out of the box, because I know many, many years ago the Lord showed us that he doesn't see walls.
Yeah.
He just sees one people. And we wanted to be like that.
Absolutely.
And we have many dear friends who are within the denominations, the denominational system. And we feel just one with those people. We feel they're our brothers and sisters. And we don't want to be seen as an elitist group. We certainly don't want anyone anywhere in the world to think we have something special, and if they could replicate what we have, it'd be a wonderful, wonderful answer. It actually wouldn't be. So we really, we want to see the body of Christ really as
it's
one.
It's about organic growth.
It is, yeah.
It's about, you know, in a family, you don't have to work out who's dad, who's mum, who's got responsibility here, what are the niches of all the filial relationships with brothers and sisters, etc. They know them. You know that, and recognizing him as head just puts those things in order.
Nor do you have to do everything together.
No, absolutely.
A family doesn't.
No.
With some things we overlap for with my brothers and some things we don't. And you're no less family if you just, even some people enjoy a different way of meeting as the body of Christ. And it's absolutely good.
Fine.
The other thing I think that would be very, very close to both of our hearts at the moment is just to say that we don't feel in any sense that we have arrived, that we've made it. In fact, there's a cry in our hearts these days, a deep cry, that the Lord would lead us on into a deeper knowing of himself. And
a cry for our children.
Yeah.
And the way forward and the things they face. Not that they will have to come the road we've come, or because I don't see it like that. They've got to find the Lord and walk on in him and know whatever. But certainly that cry is in our hearts ongoing, just that there would be a fresh revelation of Jesus. You know, if you're free in your spirit to think like this, you can think about the nation. You can think about the locality. You can think before God for things he puts on your heart and pray to him accordingly. You're not just thinking about your little thing.
I think that's why when people leave that little thing, when it's sort of governed or directed by somebody that has built that little thing and that's all they're seeing, that's why it's so painful or so personal when someone leaves that.
Yeah.
Because they interpret it as
betrayal.
Some kind of, a rejection. And I think our whole consumerist approach to finding the church that just works for us, that's a whole lot different than a life laid down that you were describing, which is the glue and the foundation upon which the community that you've experienced has been fostered.
Totally.
And yet so much of the literature in the last 30 years, probably, at least here in the States, has been you form the church by everyone finding their gift and doing it, which is really
at the beginning, it
sounds very godly, but isn't it a very self-centered approach?
Absolutely. Then
whatever I'm doing in church, it's about me, whether I want to teach or want to be taught, absolutely, whether I want to lead worship or I want to be led in worship. It turns out to be very self-centric because it's my gift, my place, my thing, instead of what you're talking about, which is, no, it really is coming to be part of a family which is larger than my own thing.
And it's about Jesus. It's about the head.
Oh, no, that's a novel concept.
That's totally... Now,
please explain that. I never heard that before. It's about Jesus, you say.
It's interesting. We've heard it, and we know the theory, but yet...
You're actually doing it.
Well, we endeavor to do it.
Learning.
We endeavor. We strive to do it. And I think that's where our unity is. Our unity is in Jesus.
That's right.
It's not in finding our gifts, and it's certainly not in our in a group of like personalities coming together, or in sharing a common vision. It really is.
I don't know if you've realized this, but you just shred like 20 years of church growth dynamics.
That's
in
wonderful.
Those three statements.
Really,
but it is a kind
of. Let him do that.
It is.
Sir, a kind
yes.
of fundamental.
No,
it's about the head.
Really
important.
I am going to celebrate that. I don't mean to be snarky about it. It's a new word.
There's a new word.
Snarky.
Is that an Irish word? I thought it was.
No.
Otherwise, it'd show up when Dave plays Scrabble.
But it is a gift that Wayne has. He uses it regularly. I look at that and it's like you just said, well, it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, as silly as that is,
it's the truth.
That is the biggest difficulty is I think we've lost sight of the fact that this whatever it is that you know we quote, have been called to do, at the end of the day, it is about him. If I mistake this and think that it's about me, you're in for a mess of trouble.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful? He said he will build his church.
Yeah,
I graduated from seminary with a construction degree and a whole bag of tools to be able to go build that church, and then stumbled into Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. But what was the last 4 years for?
Yeah, absolutely.
But that is an astounding statement. I will build my church. And all the struggle and all the striving that we've gone through over the years to produce something that would be perfect, that would be dynamic, maybe we need to go back to hearing what he says.
I don't think that there's a contradiction in him involving us in a way, but it's under the head. I think the Lord wants to put that sense of vision for his body in people, but that doesn't mean he tells them they've got to go out and build it or do it all. But it's about it's a direction for our faith. It's a direction for trusting, and to just above all a direction to give it back to him and appreciate what he's doing.
Even just the realization that my preference and God's purpose are not the same things.
Yeah.
Is huge in what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Most people can't cross that bridge. I'm a believer. I've been seeking God all my life. He's put things on my heart. So my preference is to do this. Thus, it must be the purpose of God. And it's the laying down of our preferences.
Yeah.
It's what I want versus, okay, God, what are you doing? That's to me is where headship really takes a reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the way we think about it theologically. It is the way we live it out, where we live light-handed with things that I think and prefer in the larger quest to say, what's the purpose of God unfolding in my life and me being in these relationships with other people? That becomes a real way to think about it. If I could pull a thread through from last night, because I would love, you mentioned that one of the things that's on your heart now is only growing deeper and knowing him, but mm-hmm. how do we, I don't know what word to use, but about the children, the kids, the growing up yeah. generation, how they experience this. One of the things we got onto last night with my dad, and both of you were sharing very similar experiences in a very similar mm-hmm. time frame about the early days of the charismatic renewal, and how God was putting things on people's hearts to say and to do that were outside the norm, and probably some of the things I know my dad did when we were younger, you would look back from years of history going, okay, well, that was a little free, maybe outside.
Different, yeah.
Outside the sense of normalcy that we all get restrained by. But what was important was there was a time in our lives when Jesus became a real participant in our journey. And we may not have heard him well. We may not have heard him completely, but we heard him and we followed him. And we talked about the life of those days. Even some of the bizarre things we might have done thinking it was him, and some of it was and some of it wasn't, but we were following a real
absolute father's
presence in yeah. our lives. And that's been lost, hasn't it, to some degree? Are we losing? Not.
Well, maybe. I think a lot of places, if you're working to produce an end result, be it worship, be it godly growth, or whatever it happens to be, somewhere in there you get into process and you get into mechanisms. But Heavenly Father coming and seeing his children and blessing them, and they respond and they see him move, and they make all sorts of mistakes, and he's smiling on them and saying, that's my children, and I love to see them respond to me. And down the years they grow up a bit, and they respond in a more mature way, and they hear him in a new way, and they can sense his heart in a new way, and maybe grow to be more like him. But that doesn't mean there was anything wrong with back there,
yeah,
because
no,
it was a maturing thing.
I'm thinking a little different. I'm thinking of people who now have watched people live this
yeah.
and try to live in the principles of what they're doing.
You're emulating
ones.
A form
right,
as opposed
rather
to
than,
the substance.
I need the engagement with Jesus they have. That's what I'm thinking.
If we don't have that, there's no way forward.
Because people write me all the time, what do you think about this? And I'm trying to figure out this theology, I'm trying to figure out that. Why don't you go spend time with him? Why don't you ask these questions of him? I think that's, when I say that's what's missing, I think we've got so comfortable living into the principles and examples of other people that we forget the bigger example is, they walked with God.
That is the
They've walked with Father.
And I would say it's to that as a word of encouragement to anybody, because I just believe absolutely no one else can hear Father for us clearer than we can for ourselves. And so if the new covenant means anything, it means that he's putting his words in our hearts that we can, you know.
Absolutely.
Therefore, he is able to bring forth that fresh new response in his children that's needed for today. He's
Wayne,
safe to trust.
Amen.
Wayne, just
amen.
Coming back to what you said there, is it too much to believe that Jesus, who is head of the church, can, through the Holy Spirit, prompt his children to do what he desires them to do, and as they respond to him,
He leads them on.
It's very simple in a way. And the more we look at the mess we've made of church, we've actually complicated the thing. And we really need to come back just to that very, very simple beginning of Jesus, head of the church. We who love him dearly as believers, responding to him. And that's the way we're called to live our lives.
See, I think one of the fundamental challenges is so many people, they don't live in the simplicity of believing that. I think they live in a context of fear.
Why, Brad?
Well, I think because there's a sense that they feel like they've got to do it right. There isn't the room to necessarily get it wrong and recognize that is part of the growth process and learning to walk. I mean, I know so many leaders that what you just said, they would start to shake with fear. It's like, my job is to make sure they don't do that.
Or some of
because
us
they'll go astray.
Some of us get to do that. Why? And the rest of us are supposed to follow the few who do that.
Yeah, there's some arrogant ones that want to rule all that. But I just think the simplicity of what you said, you know, don't you think that maybe Jesus could do this? It's like, let me think about that. Is he able? Yeah, he is well able. Yeah. But I think it is a fear or a faith kind of dynamic.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of people that religion has taught them a fear-filled approach to God.
Is that basically because of control and manipulation?
I would think that has a ton to do with it.
I don't know if it's overt. I think it can also just be that sense of incompetence. Who am I to hear from God? I mean, I'm not going to hear him, so I need to be near somebody who is. It's that simple.
If you're a pastor and you've got a responsibility to hold something together and you're looking around, see how it's doing elsewhere, is there something I can learn? And it's so easy to fall into that than to just go from what the Lord puts in your heart.
Well, I know when I was a pastor, there's the frustration of, I think I know what God's telling us to do.
Yeah.
These people aren't doing it with me. So I obviously need to get them to do it with me. That's, you know,
a few more training seminars and they'll finally be able to hear that I'm right.
But I'll give you an example from just this morning, because last night we had this conversation. I wake up this morning, 6:30, laying in bed, and I'm not even, you know, into a holy Jesus moment of any kind. I'm just laying there in bed, kind of waking to the day. And I feel like God whispers in my heart, I want you to come to me. Boy, what does that mean, come to you? And I had a very specific picture of a clearing down the trail here that God wanted me to come to him there. Now, my theology says God is no more present in that clearing in the woods than he is in my heart laying on that bed. But I went, you know, because last night we were talking about just follow that stuff. If I go down to the clearing and he's not there, I haven't lost anything. I got a good walk down to the clearing. But I got out of bed and I walked down to the clearing. And the closer I got to that spot that I had seen in my heart laying upstairs, the presence of God just became overwhelming. And there's something, I'm going through a season of just needing to hear what God's about in my life. And as I drew near to that moment, man, God began to just breathe into my heart something that has liberated me in a way I needed to be liberated.
And that's so precious.
That's so wonderful.
But I do think my point in that is just the principle of, well, God's no more present there, so I'm not going. For whatever reason, God wanted that engagement there.
And also to respond to him in a way that was proactive.
Yeah, I don't think if I had gone, could God have done that another way? Well, yeah, God's amazing. But there's ways God wants to invite us into his life. And if we're not going to risk those nudgings and those moments, then I guess we're going to miss them.
And risk getting it wrong.
Yeah, that's a big one. Absolutely.
I often think of the GPS system on the car. You're in a foreign country and you make some wrong turns, it'll
find a way.
It'll
around.
Bring you back. It'll bring you back. And if we're afraid to make a mistake, we have to trust that Father, who loves us dearly, will find a way of bringing us back.
Hmm. Yeah, he's. I fully embrace that he's bigger than our failures.
Yes,
he's
absolutely.
Bigger than our mistakes.
Because if he's not, we don't have.
We're in serious trouble.
Yeah, which doesn't take away from. When I'm nudging you to something, your coming with me is an important piece in what's about
Absolutely.
To unfold. Mm-hmm. And if we don't respond, then God may do things in other ways, but it doesn't mean that we will miss out. And so I don't want to take away from either of those two things.
Yeah,
he's bigger than our failures.
Absolutely.
But he also invites us in to the nudgings.
But it's both about the deeply personal relationship with him. Be it in our failings or our responding to whatever it is, it's that walk with him that matters. I think, you know, this just that the heart of God is longing for such who will respond, who will just, it delights his heart when we respond to those nudgings and when we just do whatever is the appropriate thing at any time. And sometimes it sounds a bit crazy, but other times it seems like there's deep stillness and the response is to do nothing. That's also good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
See, I think until we really get to that place where it's like, I know it's his voice, I mean, you guys have traveled over here, and I think the resident wisdom of just having walked with God for the season of time that you have, it's been an absolute joy to listen and to absorb. I mean, the drive up here, 5 hours, I've been able to kind of just go like...
Oh, you put up with the lot, didn't you?
That's why I put him in your car, Brad.
Yeah. Well, I was thankful. No, I mean, honestly, it has been an absolute joy to just go, what a treat to be able to hear God reflected in someone else's life and to go, I haven't walked that, so I'm not going to know those things. Here's a grand opportunity to see things I may have never seen before, to hear some of the beginnings of how the Holy Spirit encountered you guys in different ways and how he moved. I mean, that was fantastic. And the wisdom, I think, of what you have carried in your hearts for us and what you've spoken, I've heard. But I've also gone, Lord, it's wonderful to hear through others. But it is not the same as when he speaks to me.
Absolutely.
And with some of the weight of what we're having to wrestle with, I'm going like, I am not content to hear from a sideways relationship. Lord, you have got to make yourself, that's where the life is. That's where the courage to act. Mm. That's where all of a sudden whatever is blocked, when all of a sudden his voice comes, then that way is opened up. And I think that the challenge is, the sad dynamic of church is, I think we have taught people to be satisfied for someone else. I mean, it's the whole Moses thing back way when God says, bring the people here and I want to speak directly to them. They're going like, that's too scary. Hey, Moses, how about you go talk to God and we'll do everything that you tell us. I mean, as if they would, or as if they could.
They could, yeah.
You know? But I think it's really probably the reason you guys haven't fallen into a rut for 25 years has been the hunger that both of you described. I'm looking for his voice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we listen to brothers and sisters who maybe are hearing with us or for us and whatever. I can never put on them, I listened to you and we got it wrong. I took that step because you said so. The most a brother or sister in the Lord can be is someone who fellowships and shares with us what we are hearing, or maybe just stands with us as we hear, or whatever it is. But fellowship is wonderful. Mm. But it's wrong to somehow think that I've got to hear for anyone else on this earth.
That's usurping the position of God. Holy Spirit's role.
The work of the Lord.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've got to make them hear what I've heard.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That sort of spirit is just is so different from Jesus' spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're here, in a sense. Where are we? Sierra Nevada mountains here.
Hey, very good.
Thank you.
We're paying here, attention to the tour guide.
He has maps.
We're here because of, we really felt prompted to be here. Yeah. And individually. But there are an awful lot of folks back home who've been praying for us, and they're here with us. They're totally one with us. And I think that's a lovely picture of the Lord speaking to an individual and then others around them just saying, hey, man, we really see this. And just sending someone out in the name of the Lord. It's like what you read of in Acts, isn't it?
Yeah, go figure. Maybe we're supposed to walk in that stuff. No, it is that simple.
It is that simple.
But it does take the courage. I mean, you guys had to have the courage to say, okay, well, I'm going to get on a plane and, you know, fly up 10 hours all the way over going like, okay, is this really God or is this really crazy?
Many people ask me, what are you going to do? And I say, I haven't a clue. I said, I know what I feel in my heart, and I know the care I have for you guys. I know what the Lord's been saying to me over months, and it's such a deep pleasure to fellowship with you. But if you ask me what I came to do, I didn't know, and I don't know yet. I just, it's to me completely satisfying to do and to respond to what I hear from heaven without understanding the end product.
See, if you're attached to the results, you can't do that.
No.
Because it's too scary, because what if I get it wrong? If you're not attached to the results and they're not sitting on my shoulders as if it's something I must achieve, then to just sort of obey the little nudges, that is not some, you know, jumping off a cliff. That is a simple little step going like, well, this is the best I know.
Yeah,
and I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the complete difference there is that I think we sometimes make this out to be so much harder, so more complex or so much more mysterious than it is simply walking in whatever light you have, but being able to be honest with it.
Yeah.
And see that our fellowship is an ongoing journey. So you've come out here with some things in your heart. We've shared in open-heartedly honest terms a lot of things over the last 3 or 4 days.
Sure have.
I think many people have the sense that, well, I came to say, thus saith the Lord, and you didn't do what I think you should do, or you did do, or whatever. And really, the freedom of the fellowship that I see you guys live in that I appreciate a lot is we're in this ongoing conversation without an expectation as to the result, as you just said, Brad, or even where the fruit of what we're doing today actually comes known. It may not be for months. It may not be for a long time.
Maybe eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay to be part of the process with him rather than having to control, well, I flew all the way out here, so this should be the result of it. And when you come without any of those expectations, it frees fellowship to be so much richer because I didn't bring my agenda with it.
Yeah.
Or even I didn't bring my perception of God's agenda with it.
And I don't have to answer to anybody.
Yes. Yeah, isn't that good? Well, we were going to read an article we haven't had time to do because you're getting way over time. But one of the terms used for what Brad and I live and what you guys live in Ireland is the term churchless Christianity. So I just want to ask you this question. Do you consider how you live churchless Christianity?
Absolutely no.
The total opposite, in fact. I've never felt more part of his wonderful ecclesia than I do now. I never felt more linked to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's life. It's just the life we live.
Yeah, I get somehow I have fun with folks when they ask me what church I go to, and I get to say,
his.
That's going to church to me is a meaningless phrase. How do you go to what is the place you live amongst? You can't. It's not a place.
Where do you live?
It's not a place. How do you? It's not. It's not like that at all. Or others say to you when they ask a question, I sometimes say, "Which church do you belong to?" I thought there was only one. And in my heart, I say that in a sense of being a little bit frivolous and joking, but my heart says, genuinely, I cannot cope with that concept of which church.
Yeah, even people who may enjoy going to a traditional Sunday morning gathering, the point of the article I wrote many years ago was that they're not going to church either.
No.
They might be around the church, being part of the body. It's family fine. They embrace when they're there. It's not church is a meeting to me. It's not a meeting. It's the connection with a group of people. However God arranges that connection in your life. It may be without all those meetings like you guys live it. It may be with people who do more traditional kinds of gathering. The most important bit is not what we're doing or not doing. It's are we living what we've just talked about here for 45 minutes. You know, living in the love of the Father, the obedience and growing relationship with Jesus, and sharing and caring with the people God's related us to at any part of our journey, whether that's local or that's flying, as Brad said, 11 hours across the pond to come and hang out with us. And you knew me, but you didn't know Brad. Mm. And being able to just come and hang out and pray and share and give life. And to me, that for people to call that churchless Christianity, you really don't see yet what God would want you to see.
And for us, it's a total delight, might I say.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's a joy to have you. Thanks for coming and being with us. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's our pleasure.
Good takeover.
Thank you for traveling with us on The God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.